Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.
How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai. And you're listening to...
Quiet, please.
Sorry. Let the word go out from here across the land that Danny Noonan approved.
Hiya, boys. Nice day for golf, eh?
Quiet, please. Oh, you got secrets, eh?
Hey, this is Shooter McGavin. You're listening to the...
Hey, you guys. Hey, we're trying to have a podcast over here.
Hello, friends. It is Tuesday. It is Masters Week. And I got the whole cast back together again. You know who is not joining us this week, gentlemen? JT, Bryson, Rory, nor Greg. But none of them are joining the Masters Champions Dinner either. So we're in good company. First time in months, all five of us present and accounted for. Checking in, boots on the ground. That's the entire premise of the show. We are actually live. We have people at Augusta National, and I am speaking, obviously, of recognized author and junior golf extraordinaire, Brendan Elliott.
Good evening.
Good evening. And also was at Augusta National, sporting the Augusta look. Boston Bob Baldessari. Hello, Bobby.
Greetings, friends.
Greetings,
Bobby.
Greetings.
And the ever-present one, Mr. Q Mixer himself. He likes it a little watered down, maybe a little sweet. We don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Andy Heidorn.
Yes, I need my alcohol watered down, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Okay.
And we know him as the prettiest podcaster in golf. He's just a Southern Belle now, Christian Nezamis.
What's up, boys?
Coming to us from a new location. Where are you at, Christian?
New location, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made the move. Pulled the trigger. Loving it.
12 months ago.
All right. So here's the deal. This show is all about Augusta. It's all about the Masters. It's the greatest week in golf. And I'm not even starting there out of the gate. Because we've always said when we've done this show is we want to give props to the ladies. And I want to start right there. And Mr. Elliott, I'm throwing it to you. Nelly Korda is the hottest player on the planet. Prove me wrong.
You can't say that.
I did.
I would say that she
you
is.
You can't say she's hot.
I think over the last couple of weeks, yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Elliott.
I think over the course of the last few weeks, she definitely is. No question. Andy.
The streak.
Lean in, baby.
Andy, since you chimed in, does she remain on a competitive hot streak?
Now, that's much better.
Thank you.
We're not going to discuss her looks here. That's not what we do here on the Quiet Please podcast. But yeah, the streak that she's on, and you know, after she went on the injured list last year and then came back, like she struggled to get her form back. And I think she went a long time, you know, between wins, and for her to be like ripping them off like this is pretty incredible. And she's to me the most impressive player out there.
Bobby.
Totally agree. I mean, phenomenal talent, definitely recently on a hot streak. But, you know, I was there for a few days over the weekend while the women's event was going on. I was really there for the drive chip and putt 10th anniversary. And just to hear the comments about how far this women's amateurs made it and people are embracing it and it's part of the event. I mean, it's just the neatest thing to see the ladies out there. There were some of the women players that I've known for years out there, and it's a bit surreal to see them out there. And I don't know if I pronounced it right, Lottie Wode. that I'm still trying to get that. You know, for her to birdie the last two holes, the women play at the member tee length, and still at Augusta, women's amateur, birdie three out of the last four holes, actually. And when you guys have been there, when you're standing in the fairway in 18 and looking up at that green, you can't tell what's what. The green is tiny. It's actually very narrow. And to finish, even with the birdie on that hole, I mean, exceptional finish. Okay, here you are.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Christian, Miss Korda, any thoughts?
Do I think she's the best in the world?
Is she the player that is playing the best golf in the world right now?
it's a coin flip. I mean,
how is that a coin flip?
I don't know. She's won the last four events, but then you could also steer that to say the same thing about Scottie Scheffler right now on the men's tour, obviously. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's tough to say. She's obviously in well control of her swing, right? Yeah. And she's dominant. And I do think that when she is on top of the leaderboard, like a Scottie, people are taking note of that, and they're definitely getting intimidated for sure. I don't know. She is the best player by far, in my opinion, at the second talking to you boys. But again, I think, you know, she just has that confidence. She has that swag. And I think she's going to win many, many, many more tournaments this year.
I can buy that. I think that's legitimate.
So, yeah, I think they just one last thing on that.
Please.
I think four in a row is incredible, but we all know what a streaky game professional golf is, right? That, you know, it comes and it goes. And while for the greatest players, it doesn't go all the way away, but the slight difference between winning and not winning is so small. And, you know, you get it for a little while and you take advantage of it. And she's definitely taking advantage of it.
I'm going to say that she rips off a fifth one, and I believe that would tie her with Nancy Lopez as far back as the 70s. I mean, she's dominant right now, without question. Without question. And if you believe the odds makers, now we're going to shift, gentlemen. Believe the odds makers, you can make the same thing we heard from Jeff Babin last week with our show. I believe Scottie's going off at 4-1. But before we get to the tournament, as I said, we're recording on Tuesday evening. It is dinner time. And we have tapas being served. We have crab salad, potato. We have a ribeye with peppers, something with white asparagus. I can't even pronounce that one. And a nice little pastry puff with Mr. John Rahm. How good would it be to be in that room right now, Andy Heidhorn?
Oh, it would be beyond good. I mean, beyond good. Not so much for the food you just ripped off, but for the pure gravity of being in a room with all those, you know, new and old Masters champions who have figured out how to win that tournament would just be an incredible thing. And I've heard all the players say, once they started doing this, how big and how important this evening has gotten and how much it means to those guys.
Brendan Elliott, first time, I believe it's been going on since 1952, the champions dinner. And this will be the first time that Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew will be served.
Hey, yes. I got a ham and cheese on rye that I'm going to have after the show. So I'm fired up about that.
I had a nice panini from Wawa, just saying.
The little things.
It really is. Would you say, or do they put all the live PGA Tour stuff aside in the room? Last year we heard about people dividing up a little bit. You're down there. What are you hearing?
These guys, they play together when they're not on tours. They still, a lot of them still hang out with each other. I didn't see, with the exception of P. Reed, anybody not saying hello, how you doing, joking, laughing, watching each other hit putts. So I don't think the LIV guys are sitting at the kiddie table in the next room. I just don't think that's happening.
I forgot about Pete Reed.
Christian, as I was going to say, is that Pete Reed?
I was laughing because he said Pete Reed. I forgot about that guy. He's irrelevant to me. So
tell everyone else.
Yeah.
I did see Sergio today, and Sergio was signing tons of autographs.
His wife will take to their burner account and make him relevant again.
Exactly.
That's true.
All right, Bobby, let's actually back up before we go forward. You were a special guest down there this week. Last week, clearly emotional. I'm sure the emotion was on overload this week, actually being down there. 10th anniversary of Drive, Chip, and Putt. And how cool a first-year participant is in the field. Beyond cool. Couldn't write that one. So let's start off Augusta week by actually going back to last week. Tell us about DCP.
Yeah, 10th year, technically 11. We lost the year because of COVID, but aside from that, I don't remember there was a lot going on that first year. We ran Drive, Chip, and Putt. I had two radios on me. One ear phone had the golf channel, the other had tournament operations. And we were freaking out because it was pretty crazy. A lot of stress. The first couple of years, a lot of stress with putting that together, doing it for a national program, showing that we could do it. I felt a tremendous amount of pressure as a PGA member, representing PGA of America. I knew if I screwed up, if we didn't pull this off, I didn't want to think about the ramifications, frankly. But I've met so many people across this country. But I'm coming down the elevator with some parents and they're talking about their daughter. And she got spurred on to golf watching Drive, Chip, and Putt on TV. And I kept talking. I made a Facebook post about it. You know, it's nine shots. We used to talk about it, you know, from the inside. It's nine shots, three drives, three chips, three putts. And how does that affect your life forever? Or the parents, the kids, these parents coming down elevator with me said that their daughter wants to play in college and she aspires to be on the LPGA. And it all started just watching Drive, Chip, and Putt. And the neat thing is the top echelon of junior golfers aspire to the AJGA. And we didn't get all kinds of AJGA players in Drive, Chip, and Putt. And it really was, when you look at the kids that made it, Brennan knows this, a lot of kids that make it to the national finals, you know, they're on a high school team. They're 9 years old, they're 7 years old, they're the cutest kids ever. And so it was interesting, surreal for me to step back, not be inside the ropes, be outside the ropes and relax and take it all in, because I'm watching it going like, how did we do this? It was amazing.
It must have been a little overwhelming because obviously you've shared the story before about how the rollout of it just occurred in general, but to know that you have to have it to the level of expectations that people have become accustomed to Augusta National and what the show that they put on. I mean, it had to be first rate.
Yeah, they call it Masters Precision, and it is precise precision exemplified. And the people that are there are magnificent. The JJ Weavers, Tony in the shop, Tony Sessa, the Ryan Sharps, Jason Ballard, Charlie Schuler, that I worked with all of them. The people there, Steve Ethans, Virginia Dent. I mean, I can go on and on. The team that's at Augusta is just spectacular in how they do things. And they make people feel so special. You don't know that, you know, they're hobnobbing around, obviously, the elite of the elite and the business side of in the sports. But when those kids are there, the kids mean everything to them. And I know, I do know some of the members at Augusta. And they're literally as proud of the women's amateur now and DCP as they are the Masters Tournament. That's how much, I've always said this for years, their heart's in the right spot. This means tremendous amount to them. And they want to see these kids aspire to great heights. And I was calling it Masters Magic. Only Augusta, maybe Disney, but Augusta. Are you kidding me? On the 10th anniversary, somebody that was in that first Drive, Chip, and Putt is now back. And that's just amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So, Bob, let me ask you a question. One of the green jackets there, I'm almost pot. Was that Tim Nair?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. He was, so, when I was assistant at Western Golf Club, he was a member there.
Yeah. I know his brother Andy really well.
Yeah. Yep.
And they look a lot alike. And I'm like, that's got to be Tim Nair. It's got to be.
Tim's got the green jacket. Andy, not yet, I guess. They're great guys. They're and I talked to Tim, and I have a photo from myself as assistant pro at Weston Golf Club in Weston, Mass, with Tim Nair, Andy Nair, two other members, and I'm standing at Augusta holding this photo a few years ago, and I said, Tim, what are the odds that you and I were in this photo at Weston, and now we're standing here? It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Bobby, were any of the players in the field, did they have cadet small gloves on?
Okay.
Nice and snug.
Okay. Hey, for the record there, Oldie, okay, the one that can hit a 7-iron there, 140 yards, all right? Those cadet small hands are piping at 280 down the fairway that you have been well aware of, all right? We wouldn't have won that tournament with Shooter without me.
Putting.
Hey, bro, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. I give it right back to you. Come on now.
Hey, the man's bowing up in his chair there.
This isn't even mine. I don't even have a desk in here. This is Allison's. I'm in the process of finding one. I'm in her office right now.
That's because you sold your entire existence on Facebook Marketplace last week. We saw it all.
I mean, yeah. So why not?
All right, I had to get us off that for a second. Brendan, a serious question here: is anything left in the merchandise tent? Did you truly buy everything?
No, that is a rumor, and my wife thinks I did. But then she texts me. She goes, "Ooh, that tumbler you got me for my wine. I want 8 of them. Can you get me 8 of them?" Well, she buys into it too. I took her to DCP a couple of years ago, and she's all about the merchandise. So that's how I get my free pass to spend the money that I do. But
and just so everyone's aware, you are in Aiken, literally right across the border right now, and you are there all week long. Jealous.
Well, I made a conscious decision to come back Friday night so I can watch the last two rounds on TV. Because anybody that's been there, Bobby knows this. It's especially when they're in the hunt on Sunday, it's so hard to get the vibes and the feel.
Get in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to piggyback real quick. I did that. Yeah. AD, I want to piggyback real quick on DCP. I've had the privilege to be at the finals. I believe this was my sixth time at the national finals, and it pales in comparison to, and ESPN does a fantastic job on the coverage, but being there and seeing the emotion between the parents and the kids, we had a young lady that played in our Little Linksters events when she was 4 and 5 years old, and she made it to finals this year. So I was sitting with her family and watching her compete, and she told me that, look, it doesn't matter how I finish. The fact that I got to be here, drive up Magnolia Lane, that's more than enough for me. And like Bobby said, those are the stories that I think really differentiates this from an AJGA or a U.S. Kids World Championship. Those are all really good competitions for kids, but this is just something completely different.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yep. So I have a question for the group, right? So talking about, Alan, what you said about the merchandise tent and about, like, is there anything left? I wonder if they hold back stuff each day. Oh, like if they have a new supply of stuff, they may run out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon of an item on Friday, but won't put it back in the tent until Saturday. I wonder if that's how they manage that, because they would get a lot of people disappointed not to be able to have the pick of the litter, you know, on Sunday at the Masters.
I have it on good authority from a member of our North Florida section, who I'll remain nameless, that was heading up the check stand for, God, I don't even know how many years he was doing that. And he filled me in a few times on that and some other things that they're doing. Everything at Augusta is planned, prepared. There's nothing that you can't ever find anything that's done by mistake, including putting out gnomes for a couple hours per day in the morning. Because they know what people are going to do. A lot of people are going to go to the secondary market and triple and quadruple their money on those things.
Yeah. So, yep. Boys, since you were both there, walk us through what let's start diving into the tournament here and dive into the fact of what's going to be different. What's the listener that's listening to the show or watching us on the show now on our new YouTube channel, by the way, walk us through a visit to Augusta and what would they experience this year? New tee box on number two, that's from a playability or playing standpoint, but you walk through the gates, BE, and what?
So you, and Bobby knows this very well, you walk through the gates, and interestingly enough, the first year I went was 2010. So when I came through the old gate at that time and walked up to see the practice area, to me, that was the tournament practice facility. But that was the first year that it had opened, was the first year that I was there. So that's what you see as you walk up on the left side. There's the new press building right before you get up to the practice facility. I spend 2 days at the practice facility during the practice rounds and just watch these guys. I did that when I was a kid at the BC Open in Endicott, New York. I'd sit at the range, which was across the street from the tournament, because I think there's so much value in doing that. But Augusta really takes care of the patrons to do that and watch these guys prepare. And then, of course, you turn right and there's the food and beverage or the concessions and the merchandise. But then once you get past all the Disney World stuff at the beginning, then it opens up into God's creation, which is Augusta National Golf Club. And there's just so many spots that you can go, whether it's the big oak behind the clubhouse or the par three course, which I'll talk about that later. Because Bobby, did you go last year or no?
Not to the par three last year.
It what they've done to change it around for the sake of the patron is absolutely mind-blowing. I was thoroughly impressed with that. And the pathway they take you through now to get your picture up in Founders Circle in front of the clubhouse, it's incredible. And every year there's something, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's major. And you're like, how in the hell do they pull this stuff off with literally probably, 10, 11 months or less to do some of these major things that they've done. In fact, I've heard that, and Bob, you can probably confirm this, that there's actually like a tunnel underneath from the clubhouse to the practice facility that goes up to the press building. Is that a rumor or is that a true thing?
I cannot confirm or deny the reports that I know there's a tunnel. Yeah, there's a tunnel. Yeah, I'm running magic, right.
Just everything.
Well, when I went in 93, that was my first year. The tournament practice area, what you see now, that was a parking area. That's where I parked. And the members, yep, where the members practiced, that was where the tournament players would play there, right next to Magnolia Lane. It's remarkable. I feel like a privilege to go down to the maintenance department. I don't want to call it maintenance. It's like NASA. You can eat off the floor. It's the most amazing agronomic area I've ever seen in my life. You feel like you're in the National Aeronautics or whatever. There's radar like you can't believe inside the building for even if you think it's going to sprinkle for 3 minutes, they know it's coming. It's absolutely amazing. And they do. I know that the after action debriefing and recap and how do you make the thing better, they do that all the time. We did it on Drive, Chip, and Putt, watched every single second of the telecast to make improvements for the next year. They're all about, again, Masters precision, doing things right, keep elevating. But this year for me, it seemed insane at the merchandise golf shop area. That seemed like the most people ever. I don't know what was going on, but everybody was in there.
So
yeah, it was crazy.
Brendan, tomorrow's Wednesday. Things really start heating up. Par three. You touched on it. Let's get into the week. Let's get into our thoughts. Let's get into the tournament at hand. But it all starts with a little fun. So I've been dying to hear this since you threw that teaser, because par three course, 7 irons, 140, I'm all over it.
Buttercup fade.
A lot of those holes, you probably be hitting a long iron.
Hybrid.
Hey, it's just over 1,000 yards. I mean, that's a course I can play.
Hell yeah.
Maybe not walk it. There's no carts. Is there a cart? Can I get a cart, please?
Lots of downhill shots.
Yeah.
All right. So what they do from the viewing standpoint for the patrons?
Well, I think it's the first through fifth hole. They wanted to bring it in a little bit tighter. I don't know what the names of the ponds are that are kind of central to the whole that part of the property, but by moving stuff more towards that and bringing the ponds more into play, I know 1, 2, and 3 kind of didn't really have the water in play. And I used to sit behind the third green. That was my go-to spot every year, which that's not there anymore. And I did see JT and Ricky get back-to-back hole ones a couple years ago. I will repost the video I took from that on my Facebook tonight. But it really, like, again, it's just incredible the innovation and the foresight that they have to make the changes necessary to make the experience even better, if that's even possible, even better than it was the year prior. And it's just the vantage points. When I walked over to get the picture in front of Founder Circle, you could see the course, and there's so many cool vantage points now to watch the action. I think this time I'm going to head over like towards 8 and 9. There's really not a bad spot now. You can see a lot of the holes from one spot. But,
well, shameless plug, you're also up there doing some articles for a couple of different periodicals, correct?
Yeah, and I got one coming out tomorrow on golf.com. There's one they posted today about putting on tricky greens. Tomorrow is the value of the par three contest for the amateur, and they can kind of see, I gave them 4 tips that they can pick up from the players. I'm playing wedge shots and these short shots on tricky holes. So nice. Look out for that tomorrow.
Andy Heidorn, I've always said it's all about the events and the venues.
I continue to happen to agree with that sentiment.
Do you or Mr. Nazemus have anything to say about any course changes? They did some modifications to number 2 in particular.
I mean, I saw some guys in front of the microphone say, if you didn't tell us that there's a new tee on number 2, we wouldn't even know.
I did see that.
Yeah. So I think they were expecting something a little bit more drastic of a change, and it's not really that drastic.
Christian.
I mean, if I'm even being honest with you, I didn't know there was a tee box until you guys just said it. I'm not even kidding. So... where's the tee box now in relation to where it once was? Like, where's the tee box now?
They shifted it 5 feet.
Yeah, it's a half a tee box. Literally.
So you got to hit a 20-yard draw instead of a 15-yard draw now?
Well, the rationale was there's a tall pine about, 100 yards off the tee on the left side that they wanted to allow the faders to.
I guess think about that, it.
Yeah.
I love number 2. Number 2 is probably one of my top 3 holes on Augusta, if I'm being honest, because it's a hole that obviously you can birdie, right? You can eagle it. And we've even seen double eagle, obviously, but it's also a hole that you can completely just, you know, not take yourself out of it that early in a round, but you can obviously not, you want the momentum to start, right? Because the first 3 holes are arguably, I wouldn't say they're easy, but they're holes that you can go after, and you can go 3 under through the first 3. And I think really 4, 5, and 6 are like those other key critical points throughout your round. Cause those are the ones that, like, if you want to keep your foot on the gas, those are going to be holes that you have to either just like play an even par. If you play 4, 5, and 6 even par, in my opinion, all week, that's a great week right there. Cause there's so many other birdie holes out there that you can get. It's just a matter of how quickly you can get off to a hot start on the first three, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment. I will say that if you've ever seen number three in person, you can easily imagine playing a little bit of ping pong back and forth around that green.
Oh, yeah.
That left front part of that green is so skinny and sits so high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Number seven, when you're there, I think you can get a better appreciation from the tee how tight it is out there. I mean, of course, it's just 10 yards, and all of a sudden, you got three different thoughts in your head about how do I get this on the green. And that hole started with no bunkering in the beginning. Now it's got these, you know, the bunkering there. And I don't know, I think you can see it a little bit on TV, but when you're there, you feel, I think you get a paper cut. Those edges on the bunkers are so sharp. They're like, my goodness, it's amazing.
Seven's a great hole.
It's funny you say that, Bob, because I was watching on the Golf Channel last night or the night before the 1974 Masters, and it was Gary Player won, and Nicklaus was in the hunt, and Jim Colbert was in the hunt, and Dave Stockton was in the hunt. But that place looked so just...
I know.
Like mediocre. And yep. That's even the right way to say it, but it was just so unremarkable the way that course looked. I mean, the grass looked shoddy, you know, the greens were slow. It just is amazing to see in that time period of what it's 50 years, right? Mm-hmm. What's happened to the excellence of Augusta National from then until now is just mind-bending, you know, like now, like you said, the bunker edges are so sharp. There's not a blade of grass out of place on the whole property. And you look back in 1974 and it looks like, you know, the municipal course here in the middle of Houston.
I was going to...
Andy or Bob, I think one of you guys said it on a show last year, maybe, that, you know, we kind of forget that one of the best innovations in the game over the last 50 years or whatever, it has to do with the agronomy side of things and taking care of the course. And this is the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Well, I distinctly remember that statistic that you shared, Andy. The greens were stimping at 7.7.
Yeah.
In 1977.
Yeah.
The numbers stuck in my mind. But, and then I saw a video on X on 15. I can't remember who it was, who literally had the putt roll out 35 feet down towards the water, and that same putt 4 feet back up.
Mm-hmm. I was telling some people that, so in 74, as we look back, as kind of mediocre as the guests look back then, Augusta still was looking great compared to other courses. So it just generationally keeps getting, but there was, had to be a time, Andy, where the tipping point happened and it just went off the charts. I mean, there's golf. I was going to mention this at the end, 18th hole walking up. I'll say it now, Alan. In a golf course, a lot of nice courses take care of the fairways, greens, tees, okay. And then the rough area is pretty good. But then the way it is, an expensive maintenance practice to take care of the whole property. I'm telling you, if anybody's never been there, try to find the most off the way, way away from everything. You can't find anything without perfection of tweezers on any blade of grass, way off the path. Any normal golf course would say, now let's just sort of native areas, fescues, whatever. It's just freaking, it's mind blowing how perfection is wall to wall. When I say wall to wall, it's the whole entire campus.
Even the pine needles are perfect.
Even out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Everything. But that's what the place is about. I mean, they spent $24 million, I think, on a media center. Once a year, they use it. They bought up all the neighborhoods for free parking once a year. I mean, just it's remarkable what they do. Yeah, and now
they paid for the media center with all the stuff Brendan bought.
Yeah. Well, that was part of they built that new thing within a year. And but they do have the foundation, and the Drive Chip Apart is part of that. And some of the things they're doing at the Patch at the municipal place nearby. And there are other things that are going to be coming down the pike. I don't know if Chairman Ridley will talk about it tomorrow, but they're, you know, I said it with the DCP, they're putting their heart where their money is, and they're doing some really good things out there to help. I'm not going to say the phrase, but they're just investing in the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't say
Christian, there is some in the media, some, not Mr. Elliott, by the way, that say this could be the last time we see Tiger competitively at Augusta. And he stated in his presser today, if everything comes together, I think I can get one more. What say you? We know you're a Tiger fan, but you stuck the fork in him.
I have stuck the fork in him. Do I think, no, to answer your question, but do I think he'll ever win another green jacket? No, I don't think so. Actually, no, I don't say that. I don't mean that. Do I think he'll win a major? If this is this would be the major that he would win because he knows the course so well out of all the four, in my opinion. However, I'll get to that later, but do I think he's going to make the cut this week? No. Mic drop.
In the streak ends?
I'm just saying that because every time he gets into a tournament, it's like they only focus on just Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. And like he says what he wants. And I look, I'm a huge fan of Tiger. Like he's made golf to what it is today. Firm believer in that. If you don't believe in that, then I don't know. That's just my opinion. However, I do think that I just don't know if his body can do it. I think, again, if there was a tournament for him to win, it would be this one. Just because of his comfortability with the golf course. He knows where to miss it. He knows where to hit it. Do I hope as a fan he makes the cut? Yes, but do I think on a trying to be real with myself? Do I think he'll make it? I don't think he'll make it this week personally.
Andy shared nine holes with Will Zalatoris, and Will said it was the most amazing nine holes he had playing the back nine.
Yeah, well, probably because he got to play with Tiger Woods, right? But I think at the end of the day, for me, like it's 14th on the list of the things that have me excited about the Masters this year. I just don't.
Hey, ouch.
I'm kind of tired. I love Tiger, but I'm tired of
I know
this Tiger
2.0 times five squared.
Alan, the events and the venues.
I was standing on the walkway on 17, and it was really amazing to have my wife Pam with me. She had to work hard to get her a badge to get in on Monday, but for her to see the place for the first time. And we were standing there, Tiger teed off the 17, pulled it left and hit some trees. And she was kind of incredulous, like, wow, Tiger hit a bad shot. The ball hit the trees, landed probably, it might have been not even probably 180 yards off the tee. And the ball was close enough to the patron ropes that I really thought he was going to pick the ball up and hand it to a kid, but he picked it up and kept walking. And I thought, well, it's nicked. Like, what use is it? Little story, whatever.
He doesn't think like that.
No.
He's in the zone, Brendan Elliott.
He looks good. I watched him putt a little bit today, and putting looked good. He looked like he was in really good spirits. He almost had that Freddie Couples vibe. You know how when you see Freddie come up to the range and he's joking around with everybody and shaking hands like he's the mayor. That's kind of the vibe I got with Tiger. A little less Tiger from the past. So obviously it's a different time. But Christian, he will make the putt. I'm sorry, dude. He's Tiger.
I know he is. I know. It's so unfortunate to see him now because of what he once was. And I think that's my hesitation with him is that, like, you know, I think he's trying so hard to get back to where he once was, and it's not realistic anymore. But if he can still hit the ball, obviously. I mean, shit, he can outdrive probably half these guys on tour still. However, it ultimately comes down to just his body. I mean, if his body can't do it, I'm not saying he's going to miss the cut because of his ability to play the game. He can make the cut with his eyes closed, right? If he's healthy. I just don't think his body is going to be able to sustain it. That's just, again, that's just my opinion. I will say that about any tournament that he plays in because of the caliber of his body. Because if he doesn't play well, and he knows where I'm going with this one, he's going to make some type of, I'm not going to call it an excuse, but he's going to make some type of reasoning instead of him just saying, I played terrible this week. It's my back or my shoulder or something else or whatever, you know? So like, but that's not a slap to him because I love Tiger. So.
And Andy, there is rain in the cool mornings and rain in the forecast, either Thursday or Friday. Does that play a factor into his many ailments?
I you're asking the wrong guy. I don't buy into that whole line of.
All right, then let me change the question, Mr. Heidner. What are the other 13 things you're most excited about for this year's Masters?
Well, I don't have a list, but I can tell you that there are at least 13 things that excite me more than being, you know, enveloped in Tiger Mania.
All right, well, then let's get to it, boys. It's Augusta. We've all been filling out polls, different contests. Who are we going with? Let's start stalking some dirt.
Let's pick a favorite and a dark horse again.
And then I'm going to tell
you. Define a dark horse, though.
I'm going to tell you right now who there was three of us, B.E., Andy, and I, the three. We were on the prediction show back in end of December. And we made it really difficult because we all chose one name, Rory.
I'm gonna pick Rory to win the Masters until he either wins or retires. So,
can I put him as my dark horse this week?
Yeah, Christian's gonna pick Scotty Scheffler for his dark horse.
Here's the deal.
No, that's what Andrew would do if he was here.
Like I said, Scheffler's going off at like 4-1. Those are better odds. Statistically, he is having a better run right now than Tiger-esque. He's got better odds than Tiger at some of these. In the majors, back in the Tiger run. Is it Scheffler versus the field? I'll ask the same question we asked last week. Is he the man to be? Is he going to be?
By far. Of course he is. Yeah. Is it? I totally think it's Scheffler against the field. They were just talking about it on Golf Channel tonight. They were literally saying that he's having the Tiger effect that Tiger had back in the early 2000s. Literally. That people are like, when he is, I don't know. I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying what they're saying. But I've said it for weeks now. When Scotty's on and he makes putts, he's nobody can touch him. He just had his C game a couple months ago. Oh, hold on. He had his C game a couple weeks ago and he still came in top 10. I'm just saying if he's on, because he's the best ball striker, in my opinion, in the world, right? Nobody can touch his ball striking. His putting obviously is iffy. However, if he makes putts and he does what he does best, I don't think anybody would be able to go toe to toe with him personally.
Bobby, you want to chime in on this?
Go ahead, Brennan.
It was interesting watching him warm up today. He was with his coach on the practice green, and his coach had, you know, a chart or something he was following, and they were putting from different distances to different holes, which, you know, might have seemed random, but there was no randomness in this. And I kind of think that, and my guess is they probably pulled statistics of his proximity to the hole average on each hole on the golf course and had him putt from a very similar putt, because that's the way they design these practice greens, is to have very similar putts to what you would have out on the golf course. And he was draining a lot of those putts. So that said, you still got to do that during crunch time. And like Christian said, if he is, he's by far and away the favorite. However, if he's not, it's about as wide open as a Masters as it's been in a long time if he's not on. There's so many people that could do it.
That is a point that was made on by Randall. That many of the other top talents that are out there right now, the Spieths, the JTs, et cetera, are not playing extremely well. There is not a lot of other players that you just go, wow, I think he can get it done. I think John Rahm's obviously sitting there going, I got something to prove. Yeah. Bobby, I mean, is it Scheffler versus the field?
Probably. I just say that because I, you know, I don't know. I think, yeah, it's probably Scheffler versus the field. And he missed that 5-foot putt that last event. I think if he makes it, it's a different mindset than he misses it. And I know at that level, I don't know, maybe that plays into his trying to focus even more. I don't know. But I can tell you, I watched DJ for a few holes. I wasn't overly impressed with how he was hitting it. And he dropped a couple of times. He dropped a couple of balls and he hit the same shot back to back. And I thought that's interesting because you're normally somebody of that caliber or Andy Heidorn caliber. You block it, you make a little adjustment. You may duck hook it, but you're not going to hit it two blocks or I don't know. Just thought that was interesting.
Andy?
Yeah. I mean, Bob, you just hit the nail on the head. I was there. I watched him play the last three holes in Houston. And he's got in the fairway 183 or 4 yards in from a funky lie ball kind of above his feet, crosswind to a green that sits up. And he hits that shot in there 5 feet. Like just incredible. And he didn't touch the hole, you know, with his putt. And if you don't think, I agree with everything everyone says about him, how amazing he is. And when he does have his putter going, it's incredible. But if you don't think that 5-foot putt, like Bob just said, is a part of this whole story, this whole makeup of who he is, I'm sorry. It's his kryptonite. And it forever will be. So, you know, it makes it much harder to say that he's going to win the Masters, right? It just, you have to be able to get the ball in the hole on the greens.
I can't wait to get to our picks either.
I did hear that was the only putt inside 7 feet he missed. So I don't know. I just think to Bob's point again, that missing that putt is not a helpful thing for him.
All right, Christian, defend your pick then. Who's it going to be?
And no, it's not Scotty. First off, people. All right. It's not Scotty, even though I want to pick Scotty. Define a dark horse first though. What's our dark horse?
Brendan set the rules. The rule is that pick in dark horse. Who you got?
I know, but what's the dark horse? Is that 30-1, 40-1, 50-1? Like what's the dark horse?
Straight up. Oh, dark horse? I don't care who you get.
Okay. So I'm gonna say
rule you if we don't think this is a dark horse.
I'm going to say Xander Schauffele is my pick to win. My dark horse would be Sahith Theegala.
Yes.
Let's go. I knew B would like that one. I knew B would like that. Who?
No P. Reed?
I don't know who that is. He's missing the cut.
Hold on. Before we do the other picks, what is interesting, the whole live thing, you know, we've talked that enough, but the fact that these guys coming in, we really don't know how they're playing. And then we look back at last year of how Mickelson and Koepka and Reed and all those guys, I think even DJ played halfway decent. We don't know what those guys are capable of doing. Obviously, Koepka we do, but I don't think we can count some of those guys out.
Okay. So on that note, who you got?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I'm looking right here. All right, I'm going to just go with the odds and say Scheffler to win. Oh my God, there's so many. Like some of the Canadians, there's a couple of Connors and Hadwin. I don't know.
Strong, man.
Vijay Singh, Mike Weir. I don't know. Let's go with
Tommy Aaron.
Mike Weir will be in contention for like the first five holes.
I'm going to say Wyndham Clark. No. I'm going to change it. Don't write it down yet. I'm going to change it to Will Zalatoris as my dark horse.
That's more of
he loves this. Yeah.
Okay. Andy, keep it going around the circle.
Like I said, I will pick Rory until he retires.
Love it.
So Rory's my pick. And my dark horse to not copying my little brother there, but I'm going with the Gala as well. Champions Golf Club member and one of the nicest people around.
BB.
Okay. My pick. I think he's got something to prove. And he's typically a big game hunter or player, Koepka.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like that.
My dark horse, I feel bad to say dark horse because he just recently won a major, but I think Brian Harman could pull this out because he's just so good with the putter and he's a lefty and he hits that nice little shot around there. So what the heck?
Lefties have history there, no doubt.
Mike Weir.
I am going to shock the world right here.
Oh, boy.
Ludwig.
Oh, he looks good.
Ludwig. Getting it done. Shocking. Talk about shocking the world. And then the other one's not a shock, other than the fact he's probably been bass fishing for the last year and a half. I think Cam Smith. I was watching a few of his swings on the range.
He withdrew last week.
Huh?
He withdrew from the live event.
He's not withdrawing this time. He's chipping like a madman. I'm telling you, he's getting it done.
What'd you say? Board. What?
Cam Smith.
Cam, yeah. I almost won with Cam. How soon forgotten,
huh, Bob?
Yeah, I almost won with Cam.
Yeah.
Anybody with a good short game can catch Peter. I mean, they really can, especially in the back.
He always plays that place well. One of those names. Xander already should have had a green jacket if he didn't, you know, get to number 16 and pull hook it into the water because he got out of his rhythm. Koepka is just a stud. Harman's is a stud for that golf course. I think it's perfect for him. Fast Scheffler. I find it funny that only BE took Scheffler as his number one pick. But
wow, yay me,
Rory. I mean, Ludwig long hits it long. Cam Smith, before he derailed his career with Liv, was on a stratosphere. So I think we got some good picks there, boys.
I do also think that JT is going to have a very good week this week.
Actually, I'm going to tell you, thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to tell you who is going to have a good. Minwoo Lee is going to have a great week this week with bones on the bag. Mark my words.
Nice.
Why isn't he your dark horse then, Alan?
Because he's not that much going to have that good of a week, Andy.
I do hope emotionally Rory can pull this thing off and win one of these years, but that'd be a great one.
All right, so here's the deal. I wanted Andy, do we have time to do it? Do we turn up the heat?
On Bobby?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah. Always time for that.
All right.
Robert Baldessari.
Bob, while you have been working through some various things, we introduced a new segment onto the panel. Andy Heidorn's hot seat. Strap yourself in.
Again?
You did the hot seat.
It's slightly changed.
Wait a minute. Oh. Did he do the hot? He said he did the hot.
Did you ever do the hot seat?
I did, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next segment.
If you changed it, I don't know.
In that case, 18th green making the walk up the hill. Brendan Elliott, final thought.
I don't think the week could have started any better. And when I say the week, I'm one of those old school people that say Sunday starts the week. DCP being here for that was fantastic. Cody Rhodes becoming the WWE champion on WrestleMania Sunday was fantastic. And The Undertaker made an appearance and chokeslammed The Rock. Old school. Love it. But this is Augusta now. WWE's over. Although Monday Night Raw last night was pretty good. Anyway, I love Augusta. I'm glad that I made it up here despite all my mental issues, including watching WWE. But I'm here. I'm having a good time. And I can't wait till watching the big three tee off on, well, the new big three tee off on Thursday if they don't get rained out. So looking forward to the week.
Before I move on, BE, I just have to say you got to give it up for here in Philly for Kelsey and Lane Johnson making an appearance at WWE.
That's right.
And we screwed up because in Philly style, they should have had Santa come out firing snowballs at somebody. That's all I'm saying. Andy Heidorn, final thoughts.
So I had the opportunity to go to the Houston Open on the last day last week, and we were in the tent behind the 16th green, had the best seats to sit there and watch all these guys on this downhill par five go for the green and then, you know, putt for birdie or you know, try to get it up and down. And what struck me is it was one of those hole locations that every player misread. Like if you were putting from behind the hole down toward the hole, every player read too much break into it. And it just was incredible. The number of putts that all day we were there, the number of putts that went in the hole was two. One of them was from behind the hole and the other one was from the side. So ultimately the trick of reading a green is so important. And, you know, you can think you're hitting your lines all day long and it's so hard to read some of these subtle breaks in some of these greens. The other thing that was amazing was these guys just absolutely hitting these pitch shots from around the green that just, it blows your mind how good they are at those shots. Just the speed that they hit them with and, you know, the softness that the ball comes off the club. And it's just an amazing thing to watch. One last thing, a shout out to former guest on the show, Rob Oppenheim, who lost in a playoff Sunday on the Corn Ferry Tour. Missed a four-footer on the playoff hole to continue. But shout out to Rob. He's still gutting it out and working hard and competitive on the Corn Ferry Tour at 44, 45 years old, whatever he is. It's pretty amazing that he's still working as hard as he is and still being successful.
Shout out to another former guest or a friend of the show, Kevin Roy, for being right there also.
Yeah.
Christian, final thoughts.
Yes, sir. Final thoughts for me are, I'm happy that the band's back together, and I'm pumped about this week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. Obviously, watching the Masters, I love it. I think it's one of my favorite tournaments all year. So I'm excited to sit on the couch all weekend, do absolutely nothing, drink a couple of beers, and watch hopefully a great golf tournament and a great finish. Again, guys, continue to follow us on social media. You know, we have a lot of great stuff planned. And it's always great to get together with the boys and just always remember that when bad things happen, good things are always coming around the corner.
Here, here. BB.
Well said, CN. You know, Andy mentioned something earlier tonight about watching a certain golf event in 1974. And, you know, I saw a segment on Golf Channel. So many of the players were asked what was the most special event or favorite event, or if you had one event, or whatever the wording is usually. And, you know, you get the four majors and you can make a case, certainly you try to make a case for each one of them, but there's something so unique about Augusta, 90 years, same location, the people that started it, and the refinement. We talked about that earlier, and like every single year, a little better, always analyzing. The first time I went in 93 to, I remember many, obviously all the holes where the tees were mostly, and they've moved things back. They've made changes, but you get the champions dinner, you have the par three, you've got the tradition of Thursday morning, the first tee, you know, hitting the shot, Nicholas Watson and player now. There's just so much about the whole place. When people go there, somehow civility reigns. I can't explain it. You go there and people that normally would be blankety blanks outside the gates, they're just so kind. We had a camera malfunction and Pam and I were saying to people, would you mind taking our photo? And they're taking the photo and then emailing you the photo and the no running and just everybody, there's just something about that place. Can't explain it. You have to be there. But yeah, I guess, you know, it'll never happen in my dreams, but you know, if you had to win one, there is something so special about that little place in Augusta, Georgia.
So my final thought on the heels of DCP, we got our own little junior thing. I want to give a shout out. I want to actually give some time to back to BE. Little Linksters Swing Contest is coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got some Masters connection there as judges this year.
Well, I think I announced the last time I was on that we got Mr. Nicholas and Mr. Player. I made a play at Mr. Watson. That didn't happen, but we got Sir Nick Faldo, to join the other two legends. So really excited about having those three and getting to know Nick's wife a little bit. She's a nice lady. And their place out in Montana, man, that place is pretty cool looking.
Yeah, road trip, by the way. In favor of that. So Little Linkster Swing Contest. You got, if you know a Little Linkster, tell them to look it up. B, where do they get off? When's it officially launched?
Littlelinksters.com. It kicks off I'm gonna say Monday next week, possibly Tuesday. I gotta there get stuff go. Finished.
Get on it, folks. Enjoy Masters Week. I'm sure everybody will be like myself, camped out in front of the TV all day Sunday. We'll catch you next week.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30 plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.